and turn them to the book of Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. You may pull up our prayer preparation. I want us to read that together. Dear Lord, I come before thee as an empty vessel. Open my ears that I might hear. Open my eyes that I might see. Open my mind that I might understand. Open my heart that I may receive your word. Out of the book of Philippians chapter 3 is where we have been focusing our attention on, and that is that entire chapter. I have not picked out any particular verse. Just write down in your notes Philippians chapter 3. As a theme for that chapter, I have chosen to talk about what matters most. What matters most? We have already gotten into this chapter, and what I want to quickly do now is bring you up to speed as to where we should be, but at the same time making sure that you get the full concept of what Paul presents to us in this chapter. Paul here is being attacked through his own personal ministry by the Judaizers, and they had a motive, they had a mission, and their purpose was that they wanted to bring about havoc, they wanted to bring about confusion among the followers of Christ Jesus. And one of the ways in which they could do such a thing was to reach back and deal with who Paul once was and ignore who Paul says he is now. So when Philippians chapter 3 opens up, Paul has a goal in mind. And I shared with you that Paul says, first of all, that as Christians, we should develop a Christ-like mind. And that kind of mind would help us, as Paul shared with us in this chapter, to avoid certain things, but yet at the same time to stay focused. So the way Paul goes about addressing this issue is that he says, in essence, to his hearers, even the Philippians themselves, that if anybody had a right to boast or to brag about their doing, I could do that. Right. But Paul says, I have chosen not to do that. I'm not here to brag and boast about who I used to be, but I want to own who I used to be to help us to understand that in doing so, I want to tell you who I am now. Yeah. And what Paul points out, and what we've already laid out, is that Paul says that what he was doing was incorrect. It was wrong. He did not have the right form of righteousness to get himself on track. Paul says that what he had done was so wrong that he discovered something. He discovered that what he was really needing was the Lord. So what we have laid out is the introductory material already found in the book in the opening chapters. And I'll walk you through verse 1 down to verse 7. On today, we want to continue. And now we want to take a look at what Paul lays out before us regarding this new creature, this new person that he claims to be now. And one of the things I want you to keep in mind is nothing wrong with you recognizing who you used to be. But you need to be very, very clear and honest on the person you are right now. So that we don't fall victim to bragging and boasting and not claiming. You got me? So what Paul does is something extremely unique. In order for Paul to deny himself, in order for Paul to be able to renunciate the things that he once did, he makes a good transition between verse 7 going to verse 8. And when you notice that in your Bibles, you can see that. So when he arrives at verse 8, he locks in a concept from verse 8 down to 11. So in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 down to 11, Paul takes the time and lays out to us three great desires, three goals, three objectives regarding himself and his relationship with the Lord. Three simple things, okay? I want to make sure we understand Paul's approach, okay? So the first thing, the first objective, the first goal that Paul lays out is found in verse 8. And in verse 8 of the text, Paul says, my goal, my objective is to win Christ. Okay? My first goal, my first objective is to win Christ. Okay? Now, in order to understand this, I'm going to take the time so we can intelligently dissect verse 8. And if we don't get past verse 8, that's fine with me because I'm not in a hurry. I want us to understand exactly what Paul is saying. So let's focus now on what Paul declares to us in verse 8. Listen to what he says. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. In verse 8, Paul talks now, and keep in mind, he's already laid out the groundwork of his past, his used to be. He's now presenting us who he is now. So in verse 8 of the text, Paul talks about the person, please put it in your notes, the person of salvation. See, that cannot be real salvation without a person, okay? And that's the gist of what Paul presents in verse 8. So in verse 8, Paul deals with the person that he has now established this new relationship with. You got me? Earlier, he had a relationship with the enemy, Satan. Now, Paul has a relationship with the Lord. But I want you to notice something. I mentioned to you the unique transition that Paul makes. Notice now that Paul couldn't say what he said in verse 8 if he had not said what he said in verse 7. Do you see it? Just look at it in your Bibles. Okay? You see, in verse 7 of the text, Paul talks about his past decision. But when he gets to verse 8, he talks about his present determination. Let's pause right there. One of the reasons and problems that many Christians have is that when we cross over into the new year, we want to make a New Year's resolution, and then 2 days later, reach back and drag stuff from the past into the present. And we can't figure out what in the world's going on. It's because you didn't really cut loose some stuff. You just made a New Year's resolution. I hope I'm making some sense. So what Paul is saying to us is, I know my past, but let me introduce to you my present. Got me? Now that's critical to understanding it. So when you look at verse 8 is divided into two major aspects, two parts. In other words, Paul is going to take the time and share with us how he managed or made it to this point of accepting God's plan of salvation. He says, this is how I got where I am. And I need you to understand that. So Paul, if y'all don't mind, let me talk to Paul. Paul, how did you arrive at this? Paul says, well, let me give you my first one. He says, I need you to know I now know Christ. I know him. I know him. I know him. How can I prove it? Listen now to what Paul says. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Notice now the first thing Paul mentions in verse 8. Listen to what he says. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost. Now, I want you to pay attention and stay with me. Paul uses the same word he used in verse 7. I want you to look in your Bibles and I'm going to show it to you. He used the word count in verse 7 and he used the word count in verse 8. Do you not see it? In verse 7, he used the word count in the Greek perfect tense. Do y'all just hear me? In the Greek perfect tense, which meant that Paul is telling us that there was a time in which I started counting. Got me? But Paul says, hold it. You don't count one day things that are lost and wake up the next day and don't count that day. So Paul is saying in verse 8, it's a daily process. And this is how the enemy gets us. We think we got the broom and swept all our mess under the rug. Now all of a sudden, we've arrived. I came the day to bust your bubble. Satan knows your address. He knows where you live. And the very thing you think you have swept under the rug, not only will he lift the rug up, he'll put the broom right back in your hand and you'll sweep it right back out. Can I tell you how we do it? Because we don't see it as a daily process of counting. So you got to face each day and your attitude ought to be, I don't know what the day going to bring. I don't know how the enemy is going to come at me. But I do know one thing. I counted yesterday some things lost. I'm going to count today some things lost. You got to remember now, you ain't made it to heaven yet. We are in the process of getting there, but we got to count. So Paul in the text makes it very plain and simple. The idea is you got to count daily. It's a process. Have you ever gotten to a point where you thought you had let some stuff go? And then a couple of months down the road, some folks start off the year managing money so good. I mean, excellent. Oh, I'm not going shopping. I'm not drawn into that word sale. No. I can go to the mall and come out just the way I came in. Stop playing games with yourself. Stop playing games. In other words, Paul is saying this to us. Paul is saying, and I am continually counting all things but loss. You got to get to a point that you're saved, you know you got the Lord, but you are not a finished product. You are in the process of becoming. You got me? So Paul in the text wants us to recognize that there were some things in his life when he met Jesus that caused him to count it loss. But he's saying at the same time, I got him, but I'm still counting. All right? Look at the second thing. Back at verse 8. Second thing Paul says, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, listen to me good. Paul here is not talking about the knowledge of Jesus Christ alone. Look at what he says. For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul is talking about the fact that Jesus has knowledge. I got that knowledge, but I got that knowledge through experience. Y'all hearing me? And I got that knowledge through experience because I trusted God. Now let's back up. You ever been around folk that you wonder what in the world can get their attention? Because some folk don't really realize that the stove is hot. And you can tell them, stove hot, don't touch. They'll still stand there to stove. And we all guilty of that. But I need you to understand the lesson that Paul is trying to teach us. Paul is saying, don't just have knowledge. You got to have an experience with God. And out of that experience, you ought to grow to the point that if you trusted him for this, you can trust him for that. Oh, boy, boy, boy. Does everybody understand? See, some Christians think, good example, these young folk. I don't want them to stand up here and quote facts. I don't want them to just tell me 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. No, 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 no. That's good. But Satan ain't worried about you knowing the number of books. He ain't even worried over you reading it. But the rascal gets shaky when you trust what you know. When you can take facts, and if God said, I will supply your every need, and you trust him when you don't even know how he's going to work it out, Satan is trembling. Because now you have the knowledge and have taken that knowledge and putting it into action. I can't understand how people can be so stupid to do the same thing over and over and over. Come on here now. Why did I have to go there? You done seen him with somebody else. He already got somebody else. Then last time you were with him, he beat you. Now you tell me, how much more experience do you need? Then your final statement, but I love him, Pastor. Come on here now. See, at some point, you got to understand, if you're going to deal with the knowledge of God, allow that knowledge to speak to your spirit. And stop walking around asking for what you think I ought to do. No, you need to walk up to folks and say, oh, girl, you called me at the house. I ain't there no more. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, y'all need me like I'm. Listen to this. Being in a right relationship with God allows a person to know him personally. See, a whole lot of folk think because they come to church, they know God. You don't know him. In fact, let me help you out. You can be married and don't know a person. Boy, y'all so quiet up in here. I'm not here to hurt nobody's feelings. I'm just trying to teach us. How do you get to know a person? You get to know a person through experience. Through experience. So when you are in the right relationship, it grants you an opportunity to know him. Christ criticized his followers for not knowing him, and they didn't know the Father. A whole lot of folk would brag about being at church, but they don't know Jesus. Oh, I just have to be here. That's fine. Good attitude. But you ought to know him that you come to worship. Because for some of us, my wife asked me a powerful question this morning. What was my take on people who, you know, the status of where we are now with COVID? And I said, listen, plain and simple. When COVID hit, folk that had a tight relationship with the Lord never lost it. But it's the people who never had the relationship that you don't see. Boy, y'all got quiet up in here. I'm not preaching for your amens. I'm preaching so you can understand. Do you not realize it's hard to keep a Christian away from him who takes care of them? That's hard to do. It's hard for you to walk up and tell me I can't worship. Because I know where my help comes from. The point I'm trying to get you to understand is, and I explained it this way to her, and I don't care who gets angry. If you know you're in love with the Lord, the devils in hell can't separate you. Because I ain't understood yet what's the difference between coming to church and going shopping. What good is new underwear if you ain't going nowhere to wham?
That's right.
Boy, y'all just as quiet. I have to say things to make sure y'all with me. Do you not understand what I'm saying? Jesus did this according to John chapter 7, verse 28, and John chapter 8, verse 55. Both of those passages of scripture makes it very plain that he spoke to the religious leaders for not knowing him nor the Father. They just didn't know. And then in Jesus' prayer to the Father himself, listen to what he says in John chapter 17, verse 3. Listen to what he says. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This tells us that in that one verse, notice what Jesus is doing. He tells us that eternal life comes only through Jesus Christ. Anybody comes up to you and tell you anything different, you don't have salvation. You don't get salvation because you're a nice person. Pastor, I just don't understand. I never, in all born days of my life, I never smoked a joint. Okay? What's your point? Boy, y'all so quiet. What's your point? The point is, you going to hell without smoking a joint? Because the things you don't do, it's not the issue regarding salvation. Boy, y'all just. Eternal life comes only through Jesus Christ. And until we realize that, God ain't studying about your bunch of do's and don'ts. And this is how Christians get in trouble by attacking other Christians. We can't win folk to the kingdom because we got a list of stuff. I'm going to ask you, how can a person put down the liquor bottle when you haven't offered them a power greater than the liquor bottle? Come on here. How you going to get a hooker off the corner and you ain't introduced somebody she get hooked on that'll take care of her needs? This is just practical teaching, y'all. Plain, simple, everyday teaching. So notice something. Go back to the text. Notice Paul's manner. Listen to what he says. Jesus Christ. He is referring to Jesus whom? Christ. So now watch this. Paul says Jesus now is no longer just a person. No. He's no longer just a person. You got me? Paul, can you prove it? What you mean he's no longer just a person? See, that's the way some folk relate to Jesus. He's just a what? Person. So this teaches us a valuable lesson in that phrase, that salvation is not based upon ignorance, but instead it involves knowledge. I can pause right there. Because this is the one thing that has troubled me over the years with people. Folk got a whole lot of mouth about, I love the Lord. He heard my cry, and don't know left from right according to the word of God. And it's time out, church. It is time out for us as Baptist folk hollering, I'm Baptist. What's your point? What does that have to do with salvation? It's more to salvation than identifying your denomination. You got to know him personally. And you got to know that you know him. You shouldn't have to rely on somebody and ask them, do you think I'm saved? I does not care whether you think I'm saved or not. My relationship with the Lord ought to be a such that I know I got him. I know I know I know I got him. When I wake up in the morning, I know who I'm talking to. When I step out the bed and say, God, I just want to thank you that you woke me up this morning and I got breath in my body. I got to know I'm talking to him. Watch him now. Watch him. Watch him. Watch him. Watch him. A sinner. Watch. Listen to this. A sinner must know something to be saved, but they also must know someone.
All right.
Let me say that again. A sinner must know something, but a sinner also must know a person. They got to know someone. And what I found out, a whole lot of folk talk about Jesus, but they don't know him. Because when you really know him, you don't wait on somebody else to praise him. Talking about, boy, they were kind of dead up in there. No. I brought my fire this morning. Because when you recognize how good he is, you don't need no help to praise him. No. There have been moments, if anybody actually pulled up and saw me in the car, you'll call some help. Because tears will be flowing. I have pulled off the road. I ain't ashamed. I have pulled off the road at near the mall and had to sit in the car till the tears dried up. Wasn't nothing troubling me, but there are moments that his joy just bubbles over. And when you start looking back from whence you've come and the stuff he has done, the doors he's opened, the way he has protected you. I mean, think about it now. I don't need no help. I just have to pause and say, God, I want to thank you, sir. You've been just that good. When you know what the doctor said, and then you turn around and he step right in and take care of you anyhow, you don't need no help. So that forces you to ask this question. How well do I know the Lord? That's something everybody got to answer. How well do you know him? I'm going to ask y'all again. How well do you know the Lord? Do you know him well enough that when trouble comes, you ain't got to call for no help outside of him? I've been around people, spent all that time telling everybody, pray for me. I'm not saying don't pray for other folk. That's not what I'm teaching. It's good to pray for other folk, but I ain't depending on you to drop by my house before I can have a little talk with the master. I ain't trying to be funny. I want you to know I'm going to call him when I'm by myself. It's out of that kind of an experience that Paul is saying. Paul is saying, I know him. I heard about him when I was lost. But I know him now that I'm saved. Can I ask you another question? How you know him? Can I help you? The things I used to do. The things I used to do. I didn't tell you I didn't want to do them no more. It's just that I got a power on the inside of me. You ever been around somebody and you know you just want to cuss them out? I mean, you ain't got no problem with the words. They right there sitting on the tip of your tongue. And the opportunity is there. Because they already said something to upset you again. And you said in your spirit, I'll just cuss your... You know I'm telling the truth. But there's a power on the inside that a whisper and tell you, hold your peace and watch me fight your battles. Ah, Sister Paul, we're not going to even tackle the second half of verse 8. We're just going to wait. That's enough meat right there in that first half that I want you to go home on the thought, how well do you know him? And let me really mess with y'all before I let you go. Be careful when you say, Lord, I really want to know you. Don't say that. Boy, y'all looking at me crazy. Don't say that. Because let me tell you what'll happen. He'll allow you to get sick. And you will know him as a doctor. He'll allow your table to get empty. And then he'll step in and put something on it. Now you will know him as a provider, a way maker. How well do you know him? I mean, do you know him? If somebody walked up to you and said, do you know the Lord? Will it be more than just yes? I don't know about any of y'all. I know him. He'll pay your bills when you trust him. And don't you sit up in here and act like you've always had it made. I'm talking about, I need to talk to folk who've been praying when you saw EPB in your neighborhood and you knew he was coming your way. Anybody can shout when your lights are on, but can you praise him when they're off? Can you praise him when you go to the mailbox and you got more bills than money? And yet, God takes care of you. You pick up the phone and call and tell them, and the lady said, well, wait a minute, we were going to call you. We got a plan. You qualify to be put on the program. Don't ever become ashamed of how God makes a way. Because God will provide. I'm finished. I am finished. I want to hush. But somebody sitting here don't really know him. But I know him. I just asked my wife, I said, baby, have you ever sat down and thought about how far God brought you? There was a time now you couldn't even buy T-bone steak. We bought meat on sale and didn't take the knife to cut the fat off. It stayed on the meat. Now we have arrived. I know he's away. God will.